Our reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, verse 46 to verse 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, everybody. It's been a miraculous week because it's been half term and good weather, and those two things never normally come together, so it's been a busy week for me with the children doing all kinds of adventurous things. Now, we're studying the theme of lordship, and the thing that comes to mind when we think about Lord is Lord of the Rings. When Beck and I, before I started training for ministry, we went travelling and lived in New Zealand for a while. And it was during that time that the Lord of the Rings films were coming out. And it was a huge thing in New Zealand because Peter Jackson, who directs the films, is a Kiwi. And it's filmed almost entirely in New Zealand. A lot of the production and stuff is done there. So it's a huge thing for the nation. They're really proud of their Lord of the Rings connections over there. And it's an interesting storyline because when you think about, well, who is in this story of the Lord of the Rings, who is the Lord of the Rings? Who is that character? And you never quite get there. You know that these rings were created kind of deep in the mythical past and they were given to various people. And there's this one ring which is to rule them all. And in a sense, it's the ring itself that is the Lord. What we notice is that when anyone has possession of the ring, it kind of overtakes them, and not in a good way. It corrupts them, and the power that it has is too much. And so within the story of the first, well, in fact, throughout all three of the books, we find that what they have to do is to put the ring in the hands of somebody who is humble enough to be able to carry it, who won't be corrupt by this power, but also is adventurous enough to kind of be willing to go on this adventure in order to destroy it, because that's what they need to do. They need to get rid of it. And so it's Frodo, a little hobbit, who's deemed to have both those qualities. He's just kind of a humble little hobbit, and yet he's got this adventure within his heart, and he's willing to go and do this. But we find that along the journey, it starts to overtake him as well. And we see in the character of Gollum, who used to be a hobbit and had the ring, that what it does to somebody is it completely destroys them, and their need and desire for it overwhelms them. And it's a really interesting storyline about what is it that overtakes our lives, and the things that we desire can become so powerful for us. But we've been looking at the theme of lordship in the Bible. We started in the Old Testament and discovered that, in fact, the word that we translate as Lord in our Bibles, in our versions of the Bible, is one of the most popular and most repeated words throughout the Old Testament. And that Lord essentially means someone who is in charge, someone who deserves respect and honour. The definition is that the Lord is a title for a person or a deity who has authority, control, or power over others, acting like a master, a chief, or a ruler. And this morning's passage begins with Jesus saying, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Why do you call me Lord, and yet you don't do what I say? Basically, Jesus is saying that there's no point in calling me Lord unless you're going to obey me. There's no point calling me Lord if you're not following me, because following me and obeying me is what makes me your Lord. Otherwise, it's just words coming from your mouth. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says something very similar. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." The point isn't saying Jesus is Lord. The point is accepting that he is Lord, living as though he is Lord in your life. It's about obedience. Now, having somebody as your Lord doesn't sound very attractive to us, does it? Because We like to be independent. We have our own thoughts. We have our own dreams and desires of what we want to do. We don't want anybody to boss us around. We don't want a lord and master looking over us at everything we do, telling us what we should do and what we shouldn't do, because we've got a real independent streak, haven't we? And we want to be lord of our lives, not anybody else. But we need to remember that Jesus defies all expectations. So when we think of somebody who is a lord and a ruler, we might think of somebody who is a dictator, who is power hungry, someone who's self-serving. But actually, Jesus is the opposite of that. In Jesus' lordship, he's called the servant king. And we're probably used to that phrase being kind of church people. But when you think about it, those are two words that should not go together, are they? Servant and king. They're opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of the hierarchy. The servant's at the bottom and the king is at the top. And the king tells the servant what to do. And Jesus says, I am the servant king. He brings those two seemingly, you know, counter things. He brings those polar opposite things. He brings them together. So he's very different from any other Lord that we might have experienced or expectation of what it would be to have Jesus as Lord. He is the servant king. And Jesus wants to make this point about obedience and Jesus being Lord of our lives. So he tells one of his stories. He has these amazing stories that are so memorable. He says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. So we know from the beginning, this is a story that Jesus is telling about hearing his words and then putting them into practice. He says, they are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. It's about digging down deep. In the Matthew version of the story, it just says that the man built on a rock. But here we get this detail that actually it's not just about where you build, but how you build. You've got to dig down deep to find that rock, to know that this is a good place to build. And this is a fantastic metaphor. I noticed that George has his builder's t-shirt on this morning. George, would you be willing to come up and show us your t-shirt? Can you come up so we can all see that you've got a builder's t-shirt on this morning? Because it's a really good illustration. If you come and stand, will you come and stand up here? Wow. I've got a special hat you can wear as well. Here we go. If you come and stand up here. So, George, we didn't plan this, but George has his t-shirt on. What does it have on your t-shirt, George? What are they?
That's a dumper truck there.
A dumper truck there, yeah. And do you know what this one is at the top?
A
digger. Yeah, it's a digger. Well, we're talking this morning about digging down deep. So here's your builder's hat. And here's your spade. So I want you to dig. Can you pretend to dig down deep here? So he's digging. So it's a bit soft there, isn't it? So you might have to dig a little bit further. Keep digging. Keep digging. That's it. Keep going down. Come down a bit further. It's still soft ground. We're going to wait until we get something hard. Right. If you come over here, there might be some hard... In fact, come over here this way. There might be some hard ground here. What's this? Well, that's a bit better, isn't it? Maybe that would be a good place to build our house, do you think? I'll leave you to build the house and I'll carry on with the sermon. So Jesus says that when you're planning on building a house, you need to dig down deep. You need to go deep until you find something solid on which to build on. And this is a fantastic metaphor. If you think about deciding how you are going to live your life, your kind of values and what you think is important, and your system for deciding what is right and wrong, if you think about how you're going to do that, and this is particularly something that happens maybe when you're moving from being a child, you're going through your teenage years, our builder's working his way around the whole building, and you're going from your teenage years to being an adult. You're in that transition of deciding what's important to you in life and how you're going to live your life and the kind of value system you're going to have and the worldview you're going to have. Now, as a child, you probably inherit most of that from your parents. You kind of just take it for granted that what they see as right and wrong and good and bad and how they live their lives, you just kind of adopt. But maybe as you get a bit older, you start to think, well, do I agree with my parents on those things? Or actually, maybe you start being exposed to different ways of living, people living different kind of lifestyles, and you think, oh no, I think actually that's the kind of life I want to live. That's the kind of adult I want to be. And it's about digging down deep, isn't it? And you're digging through those things until you find something solid that you can build your life upon. Or maybe that happens not just when you're moving from being a teenager to being an adult. Maybe that happens in your life when you have something in your life that a life event, a major life event that causes you to question what's important. And in that process, you start to dig down deep until you find something solid. Or perhaps another way to think about it is that when life gets stressful and difficult, we can feel disorientated. And it's in those times when we need to dig down deep until we get to that solid foundation of Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I am a solid foundation of which you can build your life on. The world is chaotic. Our minds can be chaotic. Our emotions can be chaotic. And we need something solid to lay our lives on. If we just lead our lives going on our emotions, then they could lead us all over the place. Or the whim of the time, you know, the kind of zeitgeist, the sort of postmodernism, what's going on in the world at the moment. It's all over the place, isn't it? We look at the news, we look at what's going on in the world. It seems chaotic. And Jesus is saying, you're going to need something solid to build your life upon. You're going to need, and to do that, you need to do a bit of digging. You need to go down deep into who Jesus is. So if we think about it like this, so there we have that solid rock at the bottom that is Jesus, and there's the land at the top, and there's George with his little spade, and he starts digging until he gets down to something solid. And we're digging through the kind of chaos of our emotions and what's going on in our mind and what's going on in the world until we can find something solid, something that's not going to move as our emotions change and as times change and as the world change, something solid to build our life on. I was thinking about how, for me, in recent years, as we've been having various struggles in our family, that there's been times where I felt quite overwhelmed. And the way that I've sort of described it as I've kind of gone through these difficult times is that it feels a bit like the water rising. And as kind of things kind of go a bit wrong and things get difficult, it feels like the water gets higher and higher, and I kind of feel like, oh, it's okay, I can cope. And then there gets a point where the water gets too high, and I sort of lose my footing on the ground, and then I'm kind of floating in this water, and it feels a bit too much. And it's a bit like this picture. It's at that moment where I need to dig down deep and remember who I am and whose I am, the fact that I belong to Jesus, and that all kinds of things can go wrong in my life. But actually, I can dig down deep. And a way that I've found to do that, this kind of digging down deep and landing on Christ as my solid rock, has been through something called centering prayer. I was talking a few weeks ago about the importance of silence that I've sort of rediscovered, that when I pray, I don't need to say lots of words. That I can just be in God's presence. And I was reading about this technique for prayer called centering prayer. It used to be called contemplative prayer. And it's a way of quieting our hearts and our minds and centering ourselves on Jesus. It's kind of literally this picture of digging down until you land through all the confusing thoughts, till you land on that solid rock. And the technique for doing it is just to sit quietly and to try and relax, maybe relax your shoulders, and to breathe, and to choose a word. This is one of the techniques to do, is to choose a word. So it might be hope or faith or peace. It might just be Jesus. And you use that word to focus your thoughts. So you're not saying lots of words in your prayer. You're trying to still your mind, and you're trying to just focus on that one word, on Jesus. And if your mind wanders off to think about shopping or what you've got to do tomorrow or something, you just bring it back to that word, Jesus. And as you do that, it's like landing on this rock. If you do it over time, if you practice. And I started practicing that a few weeks ago, doing it every morning. And now I found that I can do it as I'm kind of going through my day. If I'm driving or if I'm walking, I'm cycling, I can just, oh, what's the word at the moment that I'm coming back to? And I'll just come back to that word, hope, or whatever that word is for the week. And I center myself on that word. And it feels like landing on this rock. And in the chaos of life and our thoughts, it's such a good thing to do. So Jesus continues his story. He says, when the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Notice here that the storm hits both houses. Jesus isn't saying, well, if you build your life on me, then you won't have any problems. Life will be absolutely fine. There'll be no bad weather. Everything will be great. That's not what happens, is it? The storm strikes both houses. And you'll know, if you've been a Christian for longer than 5 minutes, you'll know that that's true, that being a Christian doesn't mean that life is easy and smooth, but it means that you're connected to something deeper, You dig down deep and you're connected to that deep foundation. The weather conditions are the same whether you have Jesus as your foundation or not. But it's the foundation that makes the difference. And above the surface, your house, your life might look very similar to your neighbour. Your life might not look that different on the surface. You know, if you compare yourself to a very kind, loving atheist who helps at the local food bank, who's a lovely person and helps their elderly neighbour, then you might think, well, my life doesn't look very different to them. You know, we're both being kind. But actually, it's the foundation that makes the difference. Your life is built on that foundation of Jesus. And of course, the house without a foundation falls straight to the ground. And Jesus makes it really clear. He says, to hear what he says, to hear his teaching, and to put it in practice is what makes the difference, is what gives you that firm foundation. But it's not just about following teaching. It's not just about knowing things in your head. It's about knowing Jesus personally. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, sorry, verse 3, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else built on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul is saying Jesus is this foundation which we build on. Paul is planting churches, converting people to Christianity, and he's saying the foundation that all this is built on, that this church is built on, that the church throughout the ages is built on, is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. He's the thing that it all comes back to. We need to invest in our relationship with Jesus in order to build that foundation. We need to be familiar with him, with his spirit, his stories and his ways. So do you invest in that relationship? You do by being here this morning. That's an investment in your relationship with Jesus. But what about each day? Are you investing in that relationship? Are you coming back to that center, to that foundation when things get difficult? We need to believe and to know that Jesus is Lord. We need to hear his teaching and to put it into practice. When life seems uncertain, we need to dig down deep to that foundation, to dig down to Jesus, to move close to him. And when life is difficult and stressful, we need to come back to that foundation. We need to dig down deep. The storms of life will come. But if we build our life on Jesus, we can stand even in the worst of storms. Amen.